Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Chayesara, and I titled it Love at First Sight. And the reason I titled it Love at First Sight is I want to discuss the encounter between Rivka and Yitzchak, that initial encounter between Rivka and Yitzchak, which occurs at the end of the parsha. So I want to take up some of the ideas there that come out from that that piece. And we're going to start with from Rivka's standpoint, and then we're going to get into Yitzchak's standpoint. But it's a very strange set of psukim, and there's a lot of cryptic ideas there. So I want to take up this story of the encounter between Rivka and Yitzchak from Bereishis Perek Chaf Daled, starting with Pasuk Samach Beis. And we're just going to read through the psukim as we always do in every shiur, and ask some questions. And we're going to focus our questions initially on Rivka, on what Rivka was doing there, and then on Yitzchak. Okay, so I'm going to take it from the top. Source number one, Bereishis Perek Chaf Daled, Pasuk Samach Beis. V'Yitzchak ba mibo be'er l'chai ro'i v'hu yoshev be'eretz ha'negev. So Yitzchak, he was coming from this well, Be'er l'chai ro'i was the name, and he lived in the south, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? V'yetze Yitzchak la'suach v'asadeh lifnos erev. Yitzchak went out to converse in the field, and I think we're all familiar with the famous Rashi, although maybe not all of us, but that it meant tefillah. Onkelos even interpreted it as tefillah. So Yitzchak went to go daven mincha. He looked up and he saw that a bunch of camels were coming towards him. Okay, vatisa Rivka es eneha vatera es Yitzchak vatipol me'al hagamal. Rivka, she looked up and she saw Yitzchak, and she either let herself off or fell off the camel. Vatomer ela Evan, mia ish halazeh ha'olech basadeli krasinu. She said to Eliezer, who is the servant who is guiding them back to Yitzchak, who is this man in the field who's coming towards us? Vayomer Evan, hu adoni vatikach ha'taif vatiskas. And the Evan, Eliezer, said, oh, it's my master, Yitzchak. And she took the scarf and she covered her face. And she wrapped herself in it. Vayisapera Eved leYitzchak es kol dvarim asher asah. The Eved Eliezer tells Yitzchak about all the miraculous things that happened to him. Vayivya Yitzchak ha'ola sara imo vayikach es Rivka vatilo leisha vayahavel vayinachim Yitzchak achor imo. So Yitzchak brings Rivka into his mother's tent, and he loves her, and he's comforted after the death of his mother. Okay. So we're going to start with from the standpoint of Rivka. So what are the questions that emerge from these psukim? Somebody on the phone line, can somebody chip in here? Yeah.
What's going on with the scarf?
Yes, good. So one question is, why did she cover her face with a scarf, right? What was the purpose of covering her face with a scarf? And let's say you say it was a tznius idea, you know, because that's, you know, the most, I guess, the easiest idea to go with, but you see that she never did it beforehand, because it never says when she's talking to Eliezer during the test, when Eliezer was checking to see if Rivka was really the right person, it doesn't say that her face was covered. In fact, she's purposefully covering her face right now. So why is she purposefully covering her face right now? Why is it that now, all of a sudden, she's keeping, let's say that it is tznius, why is that happening now, that she's being tznua? And what is the idea of it, right? So that's one question. That's a good question. And then you also
said that she fell off the camel.
Yeah. Also, what's the hurt? Yeah? So why do you have both things? You know, what's the idea of falling off the camel? What is it? What do we learn from this? And also, what's the What is the concept of? Hold on. Sorry, something just fell outside my house and made a very loud noise.
Transformer up the block just caught fire.
We just lost the transformer up our block. Hold on 1 second, everybody.
Okay.
1 second.
Are the people that have the fire okay?
Yes, it's not. It's a fire associated with a transformer, okay? All right, so back to the Parsha. Sorry about that. Back to the Parsha. So we're discussing this love encounter, this love at first sight idea, where Rivka sees Yitzchak, and she reacts in this way. So the question is, what's the deal with her reaction? Why is she getting off the camel? And why is she covering up her face with a scarf? And if it's an idea in tznius, let's say, then why is it happening now? In other words, beforehand, before this experience, she didn't cover her face. And all of a sudden, she's covering her face. Now, what changed and what happened? So those are the two questions, I think, on Rivka, on Rivka's reaction to seeing Yitzchak. And furthermore, the question and the main question is, what's the Torah trying to tell us through this whole experience and what's going on here? So let's look at Rashi just for, you know, some type of insight into what's going on. So Rashi says in number two, it's Rashi on these psukim, it says, Vatera es Yitzchak, she saw Yitzchak. Rasa oso hador v'toa mi panav. So she saw that he was good looking. I guess he was a hot guy, and she was astounded by it. You know, it affected her. Okay? And it says, Vatipol, that she fell. Hishmita atma l'aretz. She didn't fall. It doesn't mean that she fell. Literally, she fell, but she took herself down off the camel. Kitargumo, like the uncle says, v'atarachinos, which means hitisa atma l'aretz v'lohi gia ad karka. So she took herself and she lowered herself, but she didn't touch the ground. So she was still on the horse, but she lowered herself off the horse, so she wasn't really riding it anymore. And then the last one is vatiskas, whatever. He just says lashem vatispal kumo vatikaver vatishaver. So he's just telling you the grammar of it, okay? So Rashi at least is giving us, you know, some insight as to what happened. Rashi, it sounds like he's saying that, you know, she was affected by the way he looked somehow. You know, she was attracted to him, or she was affected by how attracted he was. And her response because of that was that she was almost like taken off the camel, and she had to get off the camel. She was so affected by it. So that's how he's explaining it. But still the question is, you know, why does she cover her face? And, you know, why is the Torah telling us that this happened? What significance does that have? Okay? So those are the questions. We're going to come back to it. But I found an interesting medrash that maybe will give us insight into the idea of the scarf. Okay? So there's another story in the Torah in which somebody, a famous tzedekes, utilizes a scarf. And that woman is Tamar. Okay, so if we look at number three in the Medrash itself, it says, Vatasar Bigdei Almanu saw. By Tamar, it says that she removed her begadim of being a widow. Shtaim hein shniskasu b'tzayif v'yaldu ta'omim. There are two people that covered their faces with a scarf, and they were zocha, they merited to have twins. Rivka v'tamar. So there's Rivka and Tamar. Rivka v'atikach atzayif v'atiskas. So by Rivka, he's quoting our pasuk, that she took off she covered herself with her scarf when she saw Yitzchak. And Tamar, Vatichas bitzaif vatis alaf. It says that Tamar, she took off her scarf. She covered herself with her scarf. She wrapped herself in her scarf. So you have two people, two women in Torah who utilize the scarf, and they're praised for it, and they get, you know, it's a good thing, and they get rewarded for it. So I mean, it's a funny medrash. Why? What's so great about this midah that both Rivka and Tamar, you know, cover their faces with a scarf? And furthermore, the Medrash is connecting the two stories. So what do they have to do with one another? It must be there's a common theme between Tamar covering her face with a scarf and Rivka covering her face with a scarf. So I'd like to know what that theme is in order to understand, you know, why the Torah is telling us that, you know, our story, that Rivka covers herself with a scarf. Okay? So let's get the facts on the other story by Tamar. This way I can also take care of two parshios at once, but let's get the facts. This is from Parshas Vayeshev. If we look at number five in the Psukim, Debbie, do you have the sheets in front of you?
I do.
All right.
She doesn't want to read.
Come on. Show off a little. All right, come on, read.
I'll
number
read
five.
You
all right, please.
Okay. Vatesar Bigde Almenota Aleha Vetikat.
Vatisalaf. Timnasa. Timnasa.
All right.
Let me just do this. Ki rasa ki gadal shela vihi lo nasna lo leisha. Okay? Better? Hello?
Great.
All right, sorry.
Yep.
All right. I didn't put in, it's my fault, I didn't put in the vowels. because it doesn't come out like that on my Bar Ilan CD. Okay, so what is this related to? If we all remember the story of Tamar, so Tamar, she was promised to Yehuda's third child, why her first two husbands died. They were both Yehuda's sons. And she was promised to Shelah, which was the third son of Yehuda. And Yehuda doesn't want to give Shelah to Tamar. So what does she decide to do? She decides to seduce Yehuda. How does she seduce him? The Torah is telling us that she ends up taking off her normal widow clothing, and she changes her clothes, and she covers her face, and she's standing out there in the where all the harlots stand, and she's trying to seduce Yehuda because she's upset that Shelah got old and she wasn't given to him as a wife. Vayireha Yehuda vayachshevel lezona ki chisasa paneha. So Yehuda saw Tamar and he thought that she was a prostitute because she covered her face. Okay. So the basic story here, which is different from our story, Rivka is covering her face when she first meets Yitzchak. In the story of Tamar, she's covering her face in order to seduce Yehuda and pretend like she's a prostitute and a harlot. So what's the connection between the two of them, and what's the idea of covering your face with a scarf? Right, because the Medrash that we saw before, I'm just going to remind everybody, the Medrash that we saw before said that both Tamar and Rivka were both rewarded in a great manner. They got an extra child. You know, they got twins. They're both rewarded because of this midah that they were able to cover their face with a scarf. But how are these stories related to one another? They seem to be completely different ideas and different concepts, right? And let's just bolster those questions a little bit with Rashi. Rashi says over here in Yud Dalet, it says Vatis Alaf. So the meaning of Hatisalov means to wrap her face. She covered her face so that Yehuda wouldn't recognize her. Fine, we don't have to do that one. That Rashi is a more pshat. And look at the last Rashi. He says, in Tesva, so Yehuda thought that she was a prostitute. Why? Because she was hanging out where all the prostitutes hang out. Ki chisasa paneha. It's a funny pasuk. He thought she was a prostitute because she covered her face. V'lo yachol lerosa lakira. So the pshat is that he couldn't recognize her. But it says, U'medrash rabosinu ki chisisa panea, kishahaisa beveis chamia haisa tzenua. When she was in Yehuda's household, she was very tzenua. She was very modest. L'fichach lo chashta. That's why he wasn't choshed for her. And he didn't. So the idea of ki chisisa panea, according to the Medrash, is that not that she was doing it right now, but she did it in her home. And she was able to give off the impression that she was a tznua, so he never thought that it was possible that she would, you know, she was really the prostitute. Okay? And Chazal, number 7, look at this Chazal. It says, Rabashinu, in Rashi, says, Rabashinu zal darshu, she yatsa baskol v'amra, mimeni umi'iti yatsu advarim, lefisha haisa tznua beves chamia, gazarti she yatsu mimena malachim, umishevet Yehuda, gazarti lahamin malachim b'Yisrael. So, at the end of the story, we're told that Tamar is actually rewarded for seducing Yehuda. And in fact, this Rashi is saying that part of the reward of getting Malachim wasn't just the fact that she seduced Yehuda, but was because of the fact that she was tanua, she was modest, in her father-in-law's house. Okay, so what is this idea of covering your face with a scarf? And why did she, you know, why, according to the pshat, she did it when she was a harlot, but also she was doing it in her father-in-law's house. Why was she covering her face around her father-in-law, you know? So those are the questions here, okay? So, you know, I just want to hear some possibilities, or what do people think on the phone line as to why? Why do you think, or what's the connection between Rivka and Tamar? And why do you think that there's a value to, like, covering your face? And what is that value? Anybody, somebody on the phone line? Help me out a little.
Maybe they were both willing to, like, maybe they were both acting in a way that was, like, unnatural for themselves, because they both realized, like, the bigger picture about, like B'nai Yisrael and being with, like, basically making sure that they would attract the other person to continue on Yisrael. So they were kind of willing to sacrifice something.
Okay. So you're saying that they were, like, they're both, okay, I hear what you're saying. But they're both trying to trick their, they're both
not
trying to.
Not tricking, it's that they realized the bigger picture, like, as in, they knew that they would need to do whatever necessary steps to make sure that the future of Am Yisrael would go through them.
Okay. So what? Okay. So
So I'm saying, like, if it meant that Tamar had to seduce Yehuda, then she would do something like that. Or if it meant that in a certain situation she would need to act in a different way, she was willing to almost be like a chameleon, like adapt to whatever situation in order to ensure that the future of Am Yisrael would pass through her.
Okay. I mean, but that's fine by Tamar, but what about Rivka? I mean, you're saying Rivka had the same motivation, or?
I think maybe her motivation was similar. Maybe she wanted to maybe she recognized when she saw him that it wasn't his beauty, like physical beauty. Maybe she recognized something different than that. It was that she.
Yeah. Hello? Hello? All right. I don't know what happened there, but I hope she didn't lose power. All right. Yeah. So I hear
she's still talking.
Oh, she is. I don't hear her on the phone line.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. I just lost you on the phone line. I'm sorry. Can you just finish yours?
That's okay.
Okay.
No, it's fine. I was just saying that I think maybe she was also willing to put herself in whatever situation because she recognized it wasn't his physical beauty. She just recognized that he was a person that she wanted to be with, and she wanted her that. She would do whatever it took to do with him because she wanted the future of
Amishal
to run through her.
Right. Okay. I hear that approach. Anybody else want to try a different approach? Or does people agree with what Debbie's saying or do they disagree? Anybody? Tamar, how about you? Do you have any comments? Tamar, didn't you try this move when we first met? First time I saw Tamar, she just covered her face with a scarf. I knew that she was the right one for me. But what is the idea here? What's going on here? So I think Debbie's approach is a good a good first step. But I think let's look for some proof for what Debbie's saying, and I just want to take what she's saying and just clarify it a little bit more. But I think she's on the right track. Let's look at why Rivka initially was attracted, or why did Rivka initially go with Eliezer? So let's look at the psukim. It just says in number 8, Brachos, Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet, Chaf Hei, Chaf Vav, Chaf Zayin. I'm going to read through them. Vayihi Kasher Kilu HaGimalim L'Shtos. So right after the camels that Rivka had provided, the water for, had finished drinking, Vayikacha Ish Nezem Zahav, Beka Mishkalo, Ushnei Tzmidim Ayadeh, Asara Zahav Mishkalo. So right after it was discovered that Rivka was the right woman for Yitzchak, through the whole test that Eliezer had set up, he gives her a lot of jewelry. Fine. Vayomer basmiat hagidi nali hayesh beis avich makom lanu lalin, and he just he asks her if he can stay by, if there's any place to stay over. Does your father have a place to stay over? Vatomer elav bas besuel anochi. So she says to him, I am the daughter of Besuel, ben Milka, she yald al Nachor, va tomrei lov gam tevin gam mispo ravi manu gam makom alun. She offers him a place to sleep. Va yikoda ish va yishtachu la Hashem. And his response is that he bows down to Hashem. Va yomer baruch Hashem elokei Adoni Avraham, asher lo azav chasto v'amito mi'im Adoni, anochi baderech nachani Hashem, beis achei Adoni. And he praises the God of Avraham, who has never left stranded Avram and Avram's household. And he guided him. He guided this. Eliezer is praising God for guiding him in this manner. Okay? So why did Rivka go along with this? Imagine you met somebody and that person said, I set up this whole plan. And I set up this plan and this trap for you. And this was the way that I would know that you're the right, woman for my son. Like, would you necessarily go along with that? Like, I have a shidduch for it. I'm setting up a shidduch situation. And I want the right girl for this guy that I know. So I'm gonna set up a plan, to look for a certain personality trait. And then afterwards, I'm going to say to the woman, by the way, I have this guy for you. Like, why is it assumes that the woman will automatically go along with this plan that you've concocted, But Rivka decided to go along with this plan, and she ends up going to, to get married to Yitzchak, and it doesn't seem like it took much to convince her. Like, the psukim right afterwards is that he gives her some gold, fine. So she knows that he has money, but I don't think that's the only reason why somebody would just leave their family and go marry a random stranger that they never met. But you see, like, part of... So what I'm trying to get at here is that part of the attraction to Yitzchak seems to be the idea that there's a hashgacha attached to Yitzchak. Because you see that right after... You know, right after the whole story, Eliezer, he actually thanks God, and he says that this was Hashgacha. Vayomer, Baruch Hashem, okay, Adoni Avraham Asher lo azav chastov amitom im Hashem, anochi badarach nachani Hashem beisachei Adoni. So what can she derive from that? She derives from that, and she understands from that, that there's a certain Hashgacha attached to this person, to Avram and to Yitzchak, but also, so it seems like some of the attraction was to the fact or the knowledge that there was a special hashgacha attached to this person. But she didn't really know anything about him other than that. She knew that, A, that he had set up this plan and it had worked out perfectly, and he's thanking God, and there's a certain hashgacha there. And other than that, and also that he gives her some jewelry. But you see later on also, she doesn't just go along and get married to him, but she's defiant. She's willing to defy her parents to do so. Because if you look later on in number 9, it says, "Vayikru l'Rivka vayomru eleha haselchi ima isha zeh vatomer eleich." So, in the story, the parents, they don't want to let her go immediately. Rivka's parents, her brother Lavan and her mother, they don't want her to go immediately. They want her to wait it out at least like a year. And they say, and Eliezer says, "No, you need to make a decision now." So they say, "Oh, let's bring her and ask her." And what does she say? "I want to go." And if you look at Rashi over there, number 10, she says, "Vatomer eleich." I'm going no matter what, whether you say yes or no. So apparently she was so willing to go ahead with this plan without knowing the guy. It's like without knowing the guy, but she was willing to go, and she was even willing to defy her parents to do so. So it must be that there was a powerful attraction there, but it wasn't. But what was she attracted to? She must have been attracted to the philosophy of Avraham and the idea of that there's a hashgacha attached to this person, that he was on such a great level that this whole plan worked out perfectly so that she would meet this guy. So apparently the initial attraction of Rivka to Yitzchak is an attraction of, "I'm attached to this person because I know that this person has a special hashgacha associated with him, and he must be on a high level." So one thing you see is, because it's not like Eliezer brought a picture of, a yearbook photo of Yitzchak to show Rivka. No, she had no idea what he looked like, but yet she was willing to leave her family and willing to go immediately just from Eliezer and the story and the whole hashgacha, how it worked out that she was going to meet Yitzchak. And she's willing to do so even to the point that she's willing to rebel against her parents and not listen to her parents. So what I want to say based on this is that the essential attraction and the primary attraction of Rivka to Yitzchak had nothing to do with how Yitzchak looked. Because you see, she was willing to get married to him immediately when she understood how the hashgacha played out. But rather, the attraction to Yitzchak was to his greatness on a spiritual level, his greatness as a human being, and the idea that he was attached to God as such that he warranted a special hashgacha. So that is the idea that the psukim are trying to tell us about Rivka, that she was attached to, like Debbie said, that she was attracted to, you know, the idea of Am Yisrael, Kal Yisrael, and she was attracted to ideas and the hashgacha related to Yitzchak. But that was her attraction to Yitzchak initially. So why don't we go back and try to answer the questions with this first step, okay? So the question was, what is the idea of her, you know, covering her face up with the scarf? And how do we tie in the story of Tamar to the story of Rivka? So if we go back to the Psukim and we use Rashi, so Rashi's saying that what happened, as she was riding, she recognized that Yitzchak was a good-looking guy. And it affected her, you know, emotionally to the point where she had to stop. You know when you see something and like it forces you to stop in your tracks? So it sounds like Rashi's explaining that she was so affected emotionally by Yitzchak, by his appearance, it seems like, that she was almost stopped in her tracks. So the idea of getting off the camel was her reaction to the attractiveness of Yitzchak, that she couldn't keep riding, she had to stop. But you see, the idea, what's the idea of her covering her face? So the idea is that the expression of attraction is reflected on the face. You know, when a person sees something and they're wowed by it, it's reflected on your face. But the idea of her covering her face was that that's not really, it's a demonstration that that's not really the primary attraction to Yitzchak. Meaning, had she left her face uncovered, it would reflect the idea that she was attracted to him equally in terms because of his looks and also because of who he was. Or the attraction to the looks was primary. But the idea of covering her face and covering her reaction to the way he looked was to demonstrate and express what her true attraction was to him, which had nothing to do with how he looked. Yeah, it was a bonus that he was a good-looking guy, but that was really secondary. The real essential attraction was from before, was the idea that Yitzchak is going to be the leader of this nation, and that this nation represents ideas about God, and that this individual is attached to God, and he has a special hashgacha related to him. So that, I think that explains the idea of why she covered her face, and the idea of modesty. The idea of modesty is that she's covering up the superficial to reflect what the essential is. And the superficial here is, you know, her reaction to his looks. It's not that you shouldn't be attracted, you know, to a person that you marry. Of course, you're supposed to be attracted to the person that you marry. But the idea is that Rivka was on a high level, and her real attraction, her true attraction, was simply to the idea of Yitzchak and him as a spiritual person. So she's trying to demonstrate, you know, which one is primary. It's not that his looks are primary, but it's really the internal, you know, the internal attraction to him as an individual, as a great individual. Okay, so I think we can explain the idea of Tamar too, the idea of covering her face as well. How can we do that? You see, if you look in, I think we skipped over the Rashi, and I didn't do that on purpose, but maybe it was unconscious. But if you look in number 6 in Rashi, in the middle, it says Ki Rasa Ki Gadal Shela Lefichach Hifkira Atma Etel Yehuda. So she realized that Yehuda was never going to give her to his third son, and therefore she was mafkir herself. She allowed herself to be with Yehuda. Shehaisa misavel lahamid mimenu banim. She wanted to have children from him. Okay? So what do we see from this about Tamar? Tamar, she wasn't really attracted to Yehuda and the base Yehuda because Yehuda was a powerful man. Because the Torah depicts Yehuda as a very powerful individual. But she wasn't attracted to them for that. She was really attracted to Yehuda, as Debbie said, because she wanted to be a part of Klal Yisrael, and she wanted to be a progenitor of, you know, of leaders and of people in Klal Yisrael. So it's the same idea there. You know, why was she tzanua in her father-in-law's house? Why did she cover her face? The idea of covering your face is a demonstration that your attraction isn't a superficial one. Meaning, it's not the physical that she was attracted to. She wasn't attracted to Yehuda from a physical standpoint. And even though the attraction, I'm sure, existed, because Yehuda was a very powerful man, but the true attraction, the real attraction, was to be part of Klal Yisrael, to be related to Klal Yisrael. So I think with that explanation, we can answer, you know, the connection between Tamar and Rivka in terms of covering your head, your face with a scarf. The idea of covering your face with a scarf is that there's an idea of demonstrating and reflecting that the true what your true attraction is. And in this case, in the case of Rivka, her true attraction had nothing to do with the way that Yitzchak looked, as we saw from before, that she was willing to go with Eliezer just merely after hearing, you know, the story of how, you know, how the Hashgacha worked out and knowing that he was the son of Avram. That alone was enough to get her to leave her family and to marry this guy. But so that was a real attraction, and she's covering up the superficial to demonstrate, you know, what the real attraction is. And it's the same thing with Tamar. She didn't really want to be with Yehuda essentially because of the way he looked or because of superficial characteristics that he had, but she really was attracted to him because she wanted to be part of Klal Yisrael, and she wanted to be Lahamid Banim Imena. Okay? So that explains the Medrash and the connection between both Tamar and Rivka. Okay. Okay, anybody have any questions, or do you accept that idea? It's a good idea. Hello? Somebody say, Tamar, can you say something?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so therefore, the idea of covering your face, I would say, is not an idea. It's not an idea in Sneas all year round. You shouldn't go around wearing a burqa. The Torah doesn't say that that any of these women wore a burqa all year round. No, they only expressed their Sneas in specific situations. Rivka expressed it when she first saw Yitzchak, because she was trying to demonstrate, you know, what her real attraction to Yitzchak was. And it wasn't the superficial, but it was the more internal attraction. And same thing with Tamar. When she lived with Yehuda and she lived in that household, she wasn't attracted to the household because of superficial characteristics. She was really attracted to them for to be part of Klal Yisrael, to be, you know, part of the Shevet, and to be you know, a progenitor of the Shevet. So all those, so that's when the scarf is appropriate. So don't say that I said you should go around walking around with a burqa, because you see from the Torah that that's not the case. That Rivka never did that, you know, and she was willing to, she, you know, with Eliezer she didn't wear a burqa, and Tamar she did it, but she did it for a specific reason, because she was around Yehuda and she was around the family, and she was trying to demonstrate and reflect a certain type of attraction to the family. Okay. So that's the idea of the tznius, of covering your face with a scarf. So we took up this the idea over here from the standpoint of Rivka, of the love at first sight, and her reaction to, you know, to how she saw him initially. But let's take it up from the standpoint of Yitzchak, because love, you know, takes two to tango, and you have two parties that that fell in love here. You have Yitzchak and you have Rivka. So how did this all play out in terms of Yitzchak? Because you have this random girl coming towards him, and somehow it worked out that, you know, she was, you know, he loved her tremendously. It says at the end of the parsha, and so how did it work out? So there's a psychology here. I think the Torah is presenting us with the psychology. So if you look at number 11, when we took up this section, we started with Samach Beis. So we'll read through the two psukim again. It says, "V'Yitzchak ba mibo be'er lachai ro'i v'hu yoshev be'eretz ha-negev." So Yitzchak was coming from Be'er lachai ro'i, which is the name of the Be'er, and he was living in the south. And then it says, "V'Yitze Yitzchak lasuach basadel lifnos ere v'yisa ino v'yar v'neg bo'olim bo'im." And Yitzchak was davening in the field in the mincha time, and he saw that Rivka was coming. So the question is, why is the Torah telling us this? I mean, fine, it's teaching us a separate halacha that, you know, Yitzchak was Misakeh in Mincha, but what significance does this have in terms of, you know, teaching us about the love between Yitzchak and Rivka? So Rashi actually gives us tremendous insight into Yitzchak. So look at number 12 in Rashi. It says in Samech Beis, it says, "Mibo be'er lachai ro'i, shahalach lahavi hagar, la'avram aviv shi'isa ena." So why did he go to Be'er Lachai Ro'i? I don't know if we remember, but that was the whole story with Hagar and the Malach, that it was in Be'er Lachai Ro'i, and apparently the Medrash says that Yitzchak was sent by Avram to retrieve Hagar so that Avram could remarry Hagar after Sarah had died. Okay, and then it says Lasuach Lashon Tefila Kimo Yishboch Sicha. So he went out into the field to daven. And it uses the word lasuach, which means to converse. So what is the significance of this? Why do you think the Torah is, or Rashi is explaining that this is being brought in right now? Why does it matter where Yitzchak came from? Why is it significant that he went to go get Hagar? So somebody give me a possibility here. Why do you think it's important that he was going to get Hagar to marry Avraham? Debbie, come on, step up. What? A lot of pressure?
A lot of pressure.
As of right now, you're the only one I know who's on the phone line, actually, tomorrow, so.
I'm thinking.
You're thinking?
Yep.
All right. That's okay. All right, so you know what? I'm going to throw something out there. So normally when their spouse dies, you know, it's very difficult to move forward. When anybody dies, it's always difficult to move forward. Right, so what was Avram doing by sending Yitzchak to get Hagar, and why didn't Avram send Eliezer to get Hagar? That's the question, right? So apparently, and we see this from the end of the parsha, the last pasuk. Apparently, both Avram and Yitzchak were dealing with and struggling with mourning Sarah's death, and Avram was basically telling Yitzchak that it's okay to move forward. Because Avram, he's saying, I'm willing to get remarried. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna not marry somebody and limit my happiness. But you know, you're allowed to get remarried, and it's a good thing to get remarried. So Avram is basically teaching Yitzchak this idea through action. Why is he sending Yitzchak as opposed to Eliezer? Because he's trying to tell Yitzchak that Yitzchak, it's okay also from Yitzchak's standpoint to move forward. And I think you see from the end of the Parsha, just the Pshat of the Pesukim, it says, Vayivya Yitzchak ha'ola sar imo vayikachas revka vatilo li'isha vayiavea vayinachem Yitzchak achare imo. So you see that Rivka provided a type of comfort for Yitzchak in terms of mourning over his mother. So the purpose of the story, of it's starting the story off in this way, because it's trying to tell you where Yitzchak is coming from. That Yitzchak was struggling with moving forward from his mother's death, and Avram's trying to help him. And he's trying to demonstrate, you know, through action and through sending Yitzchak, that it's okay to move forward. Because Avram's willing to marry Hagar again. And he does. The Torah says that he marries Keturah. And if you look at Rashi number 14, who was Keturah? Keturah was Hagar. Okay? So why does he go out to Davin? Why does it use converse, lasuach, lashon tefillah? Apparently, if you take Rashi, you know, if you follow Rashi's steps, the tefillah related to this struggle that Yitzchak was having. So Yitzchak was, on the one hand, he was struggling with Sarah's death and how to move forward. And Avram's trying to demonstrate to him how to, you know, that it's okay to move forward. And then he goes out to Davin. And the lashon of the tefillah is a sicha. It's like a conversation, as if like a person's, you know, yishboch sicha. He's pouring out his heart. You know, he's pouring out his conversation to God. So apparently Yitzchak was troubled by, you know, moving forward from Sarah's death, you know, as Rashi's pointing out. And the tefillah reflected that. The tefillah was really a way for him to, you know, to pour out to God. And just as that happens, who comes? Mm-mm. What? Mm-mm. Hello? All right. I just heard a beep. Okay. Just as that happens, who comes along? Rivka on her gemalim. Right. So what's the Torah? What's the Torah trying to tell us through this? You know, through bringing these psukim. I believe the Torah is trying to tell us what Yitzchak's mindset was. That really his mindset was that he was just getting into the mindset where he was able to move forward beyond his mother's death. So you see that from the fact that, A, he's coming to get Hagar to remarry Avraham. So Avraham's demonstrating to Yitzchak, oh, it's okay to move forward. And you see that he's struggling with the idea, and he's trying to express his thoughts in his tefillah as to what he's struggling with. But just as that happens, you know, Rivka comes along and he sees her on the gemalim, on the camels. Okay, and then if you look in the last number 15 in the parsha, it says in Samach Zayin, Vayivya Yitzchak Ola Sara Imo. So Yitzchak brought Rivka into his mother's tent. Vayikach es Rivka vatilo leisha vayahavah vayinachem Yitzchak achare Imo. So he took Rivka as a wife, and he loved her. And he was comforted after his mother. And look at Rashi in number 16. Achare imo, derech eretz, kol zman she'imo shel adam kayemes, karachu etzla. U'mishamesa humisnachem be'ishto. So when a mother is alive, the son is I guess like a fix to her, is karachu etzla. U'mishamesa, when she dies, humisnachem be'ishto. His wife provides him with comfort, right? Okay. So I'm just trying to demonstrate the dynamics between the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka and how this whole story played out. So let me just summarize everything and try to clarify everything. So the Torah is taking it up from the standpoint that that Yitzchak was really at a point in his life where he was still mourning his mother, but he's ready to turn the corner. And Avram is trying to teach him that through getting Hagar. And he's also expressing that in his tefillah, that he's ready to move forward, or he's at least struggling with the ability to move forward, but at least he's in a state where he's turning the corner, right? And right then, Rivka comes along, and Rivka's reaction is one of tznius. And how does Rivka react in a tznua way? So she covers her face. And we said the idea of covering her face was to demonstrate, it was an internal idea, but it also demonstrated to Yitzchak that she was attracted to him, not just for because of the way he looked, but that was secondary. But really her attraction to him was because of the ideas and the hashgacha that was attached to him, not because of the superficial. And then we see that she's capable of satisfying, you know, his need for comfort in the end of the parsha. So the Torah is not telling us this story, you know, to give you a script to write a movie, you know, and so that you can, you know, have a love song in the background and you can see how Rivka really fell in love with Yitzchak. But it's telling you the dynamics of the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak and the nature of what attracted, you know, one to the other. So what attracted Yitzchak to Rivka was the fact that she was tsanua, and the idea of tsanius we were trying to, you know, explain in the relationship to Tamar. And what attracted Rivka to Yitzchak was that she was able to fill this void that he had, and she was able to replace his mother in a certain sense, and she was able to, you know, to feel comforted by or through his new wife. So that's how I would explain the whole story, the whole love story between Rivka and Yitzchak. Okay? Does anybody have any questions on that?
It sounds like the women were motivated by better motivation.
What do you mean?
They weren't as emotional. Their motivations were more like, I know I want to be a part of the Jewish nation. Whereas, like, the men were more, it's almost like the women were voted by, were, like, encouraged or motivated by, like, much more, I'm trying to think of the word. Like, it was almost like selfless.
Uh-huh. Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I would say that there's always the nature of the attraction of an individual to another is always twofold. You know, you're not just attracted to somebody purely physically, but you're also attracted to them for their personality. But here there's an added dimension that you're attracted to the person because of their relationship to God. So the idea is not that it's not that you should feel bad about the fact that you're attracted physically to, that she was attracted physically to Yitzchak or that she found him attractive. No, you're not supposed to feel bad about it. The idea is to understand which attraction is primary. So that's the idea of covering her face. It's not an idea that you shouldn't be attracted physically. And that you should only be attracted, you know, for the spiritual reasons. But no, it's an idea that if you have both, you should reflect which one is primary and which one is secondary. So over here, the primary one was clearly Yitzchak, you know, because of his relationship to the Hashgacha. The story proves that. The fact that she was willing to leave her family to meet a stranger, to marry a stranger, proves the idea that she was attracted to him because of his relationship to, you know, to Yehadus and his relationship to Hashgacha. So those ideas really attracted to her. But to answer your question, I would say that yes, the women were motivated by great emotions and by great motivations, but it wasn't just like selflessness. There was an attraction there. Rivka was still attracted to Yitzchak. It's just that her primary attraction was who he was and his relationship to God.
Right.
But what's wrong with that?
I wouldn't say anything was wrong with that.
And why are you saying that Yitzchak was attracted for the wrong reasons?
I'm not saying he was attracted for the wrong reasons. I was thinking how the reasons that were motivating them for the women and the men were very, very different.
Are you saying that are you saying that it's a bad thing to look for somebody that reminds you of your mother?
Oh, I'm not that bad at it.
All right.
That's exactly what I was saying.
All right. I have one other possibility since we have like a little bit of time. So sometimes I like to mix in a separate or side possibility at the end of the shir. But I hope it's not confusing. So I had one other idea as to, you know, why she's getting off the camel and she's covering her face up with the scarf. So I think that, I don't know if this is in line with the Midrashim or it's more of a pshat idea. But I think part of it is that she was very, if you look at the story before, and especially in terms of how she relates to Eliezer and how she is defiant against her parents, she did demonstrate like a certain rebelliousness and a certain brazenness. But and sometimes brazenness and rebelliousness you don't associate with modesty. You usually separate those two qualities. But really, the idea that Rivka was trying to express to Yitzchak was that underlying everything, she was really a modest person, and that wasn't her nature. Wasn't to be brazen, but her nature was to follow in line with truth, with MS, with the truth. So the idea of expressing or covering her face as an expression of modesty is to demonstrate that to demonstrate what her true personality is. That you could be a modest person and also, you know, stand up for what's right and also be brazen when it comes to fighting for the truth and for emes or for doing chesed. So you see that Rivka was willing to be brazen when it came to doing chesed, and she was willing to defy her parents in order to do what was right and marry Yitzchak because she recognized that it was the right thing to do. But it wasn't a personality trait that she had. She was also a modest person. She was tsanua, so she had... It's not a contradiction to her tznias that she was brazen, but she's trying to demonstrate in her first encounter with Yitzchak that she has this quality. And you see from the psukim, this is another pshat, but you see from the psukim that only after she covers her face, it says Vaisapera Eved LeYitzchak Eskol Dvarim Asher Asa, that Eliezer tells Yitzchak everything that happened. So before Eliezer could tell Yitzchak the whole story, she wanted to express that her underlying nature was that of a tzanua, that of a person who was modest, so that Yitzchak maybe Yitzchak would be turned off by the fact that, you know, she was brazen, or would think that it's a personality trait that she's a rebellious type. But she's trying to express that that's not her intrinsic nature. She's really a tzanua, but she's willing to be brazen when it comes to doing the right thing and doing. So she's trying to demonstrate that to Yitzchak initially before Eliezer actually tells Yitzchak the story. And there is a raya to this, because you see, like, later on, by the whole story of Yaakov and Esav, you see that on the one hand, Rivka is, like, she does it in a tsanua way. The Ramban over there says that she was tsanua. She didn't really tell Yitzchak about what was going on, and she had her reasons, but she was willing to stand up and do the right thing. She didn't just shy away from MS, from the truth. She knew that it was Yaakov's right to be the Bechor, and she stood up for that, and she made sure that it took place, but she still had that quality of tznias. That was an underlying quality. And those two qualities, the idea of being brazen and the idea of being tzanua, they're not like a contradiction. It's only when you're brazen for nothingness, for stupidity, that's when you're not a tzanua. But when you're brazen when it comes to truth and MS and justice, And you can still be a tzanua. You can still be an underlying modest person, a person who's, who expresses tznias. So that's what I think. That's the other idea that I was thinking of. The other idea I was thinking of is that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to show Yitzchak who she really is, and that he shouldn't be turned off by her. He shouldn't get the wrong impression from the story, and he should know that this is her nature. And maybe that's why she was comforted. That's why he was comforted by her so much that, you know, he recognized her perfection, and that's why he was comforted by her so much. So that's the other possibility that I want to throw. Nice. What?
I said that's very nice. I like that.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
Yeah, no, it also shows you, though, it teaches you an idea about Sneod also, because you're always thinking of Sarah, he neighbor, oh hell, but it's always, you know, in the background and just,
right.
You know, but you see that these women were very strong women when it came to doing the right thing and following Emmet and all that. So
right, exactly.
Idea in terms of Sneod.
Yeah. So that's the other idea I was thinking of. All right. So those are the two ideas. So we have the idea is to demonstrate, her true attraction, not that it wasn't the superficial. It wasn't her seeing Yitzchak and recognizing his attractiveness. But she was trying to cover her face. She was trying to cover that expression, that wow expression, because she was demonstrating, you know, what the true attraction was. And the other possibility is this idea, which is that she's trying to impress on Yitzchak that she's not inherently a brazen person, but she's really underlying tzanua, and she's only brazen when it comes to, you know, truth and emes. But that's not a contradiction to tznias. So those are the two ideas. All right, so I hope everybody enjoyed, and I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos this week. Thanks for calling in, and... I hope everybody keeps their power during the storm. All right, so have a good night, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.